The Ewan Grant Podcast, the Limestone Coast Triple M.
G'day, it's Ewan. Welcome to the Ewan Grant Podcast and welcome to everybody joining me on the Listener app. Today, I get to chat to member for MacKillop, Nick McBride. Nick has been flirting with the idea of becoming an independent. Josh Liner has some great news about some teachers doing amazing things in our community. And Brett Watson's joining me to talk horse racing. Let's kick it all off. Nick McBride has released a statement regarding his future with the Liberal Party. Hey, Nick, you were contemplating leaving the Liberal Party. What was going on?
Oh, look, it basically came to the fact that we were really suffering from the border restrictions and the South Australians stuck on the other side of the border. I tried to raise that as an issue through the processes that I thought were the best way, and it didn't work that well. And anyway, at the end of the day, we went out and consulted with the seat of MacKillop, all the constituents, all the members. And in general, Ewan, just to give you some sort of idea of the feedback, yeah, there were people saying, please stay in the Liberal Party. And yes, there were some people saying, please be an independent because we'll get more as an independent seat. But in general, the overwhelming consensus was, we'll support you whatever you do. And that was a real confirmation of the fact that we're trying to do all we can for MacKillop, and we'll do our best and we'll continue to do that. And then anyway, we've had our meetings yesterday with the Premier and the Treasurer. We've talked about the processes. We've talked about what has happened and what hasn't happened. And the Premier, basically, through the Treasurer as well, have reached out with a new communication strategy for my office and myself. And I think this is going to be very, very helpful. And hopefully that the process that we use gets us greater traction. And then obviously we can move forward and bat better for MacKillop than we have been able to do so far, and get better outcomes and perhaps even speedier ones than the way that it was working before. The other thing here was a little bit interesting yesterday, which was really pleasing to see. And this wasn't on the cards like for this sort of presentation, but there was a 45-minute presentation by the Minister for Health with Health SA in one of the meeting rooms here in Parliament with most of the government MPs talking about everything about the South Australians are stuck on the other side of the border. Apparently, it's been noted there's about 11,000 of them. Wow. Apparently, the average waiting time has been nearly 5 weeks, and they are working through them. They've got a new process in place. It's going to have better communications. They recognise that this is not working, and it's about to change. And can I say, I just asked my electoral manager, as well as talking to Troy Bell, member for Mount Gambier, who's a great cohort in everything we do on the Limestone Coast together. His and my problems had basically been cleaned. I think we had about 20 on the list that we really had some problems with. Mm-hmm. He had about 12. I think we've got one or two that's still got to work through, and so does he. And this just happened on the weekend, all in one lump sort of tranche. So there must be some good movement in that area. So summing it up, all of this up, Ewan, is I had a frustrating week last sitting week. I was frustrated about the communication strategies that I was getting or using, or perhaps way I was being responded to. And as of yesterday morning, working through with the Premier, the Treasurer, and then also seeing the way that the Minister for Health has reacted to these 11,000 South Australians, I think we've had a really big win.
Nick, do you think that the Premier, the Treasurer, and I suppose the Transition Committee now have a better idea of what is going on in regional South Australia because of the steps that you've taken to, I suppose, bring the situation to a head?
Oh, look, I think, yeah, that's the case. And we just got to put this into two spectrums here, Ewan. One is that there are 11,000 so-called South Australians, which are being worked through. So that might have been the maximum number. There mightn't be that today, but it got out to 11,000. And I'm hoping that with what's going on, that's actually happening speedily and they are actually going to get on top of it. But the two things we need to really strongly consider. One is we want to allow them back in, but we actually don't want to allow them back in to, you know, send us into lockdown and bring the disease back. So it's got to be done in a methodical, professional fashion. And so that in itself is still going to happen in that sort of fashion. And I think the number one process that was missing in all of that was the communication. If you didn't know where you were, if you didn't know if you'd filled in the forms right, if you didn't know you'd even made strong connection with the process, you had no feedback. And I think that's all about to change. And then obviously with this as well, then, is about the messaging and having the Premier aware, the government aware, the numbers that we're talking about. And, you know, if you think about 10,000 or more, South Australians stuck on the other side of the border, there'd be at least 100,000 South Australians would have some connection with those 10,000, whether it be family, whether it be friendships, whether that be work colleagues or work employees or bosses. They'd all be stuck on the other side, causing more difficulty back in South Australia. So I think the sooner the government sorts this out like they're trying to do, I think the better for everyone, including the government. So I think it's a win-win all the way around, Ewan.
And Nick, after 2 weeks of agonising decision-making, how are you feeling this morning?
Oh, look, it's been very, very tiring. Sleep has been hard to get. Been doing a lot of talking with constituents and members and so forth. My voice is a little bit croaky, and I'm looking forward to the week ahead, not only in this place, in Parliament like we're sitting, but the week after, just to recover and recoup and get about to doing what we do best, and that is representing the seat of MacKillop in all the ways we can as a Liberal government.
Thanks so much, Nick. We'll catch up with Nick during the course of the next week or so and talk about what's going on in the world of state politics. Now, Limestone Coasters, it's time to find out what people are talking about online. Josh Liner joins me for a chat. Josh, g'day.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Now, mate, first of all, local schools doing huge things at the moment. What's happening?
Yeah, so always good to see schools in the region being acknowledged at a state level. This is great. So the 2021 South Australian Public Education Awards are coming up. The winners will be announced in November, but we've got a couple of schools who have been acknowledged locally. So we've got Celeste Raymond is a social worker at Mel Luther Park Primary School. She's very, very good at what she does. She's a lovely person. I personally quite enjoyed working with her recently. But she's a finalist for the Community Engagement Award. So she's one of three people who are up for this award and, yeah, very well deserved.
Now, not only is Celeste up for an award, but there are other schools up for awards as well.
Yeah, so the entrepreneurial teaching team at Grant High School, they've also been nominated for the University of South Australia Team Teaching Award. So, yeah, always good to see. I like when we see these things like where, you know, people have been nominated for awards and stuff, I always like having a scroll through and seeing how many schools or how many names I can see that are local. And I think often we see these big state awards and we always think, you know, Adelaide gets all the attention, and it's so exciting just to see locals, you know, getting acknowledged. It's great.
Now, one of the things that you have been passionate about over the course of the last couple of months is Brittany Case and her fundraising of Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah, this is excellent. It's just a good story about someone doing good for an organisation doing good. So Brittany Case took the plunge on Friday. She abseiled from the top of the Intercontinental Hotel in Adelaide. So she's raised $2,000 in the process for Ronald McDonald House. And yeah, her aim was to raise as much money as she could in the name of her brother, who has cerebral palsy and has been supported quite often through Ronald McDonald House.
And she wasn't the only one in the Limestone Coast who was raising money.
No, so Vanita Coots was another local woman who took part in the event. One of the 100 people, I think it was, all up in Adelaide who abseiled down the side of the building and, yeah, also raised more than $1,600 for the charity.
Hey, Josh, it's always good to catch up and find out what's going on online. As always, thanks for joining us for a chat.
No problem.
What an absolutely sensational achievement by both girls. Now, it's been absolutely ages since I've got to talk racing, and it is time to head out to Glen Burnie. Brett Watson is the man who knows all about racing in the Limestone Coast. Last time we caught up with him, we were talking all about the track. And Brett, how are things going with the track?
Yes, it's actually heading in the right direction. It's coming along quite nicely. David Shepherdson, our track manager, has done cut the track back. He's fertilised. He's out on the track this morning. Going to give it another cut and then, yeah, some more fertiliser and a few other applications of products. And, yeah, hopefully with some warmer weather, if that can continue, we should be heading in the right direction.
And like last time we talked, there was a weed problem on the track. Has that sorted itself out?
Yeah, so they've worked very, very hard in the past, 12 months, going through different products to try and eradicate that, and that's worked really well. So they're monitoring that. The guys have actually been out. It's probably less than 1% out there now, so which is a fantastic result when it was probably just over 12 months ago, it was probably around 90%.
Wow,
so,
yeah.
So that's a fantastic achievement by the guys. So, we'll just keep on top of that, and, fingers crossed that we can keep on top of that, and, we should be right.
Brett, we've also had a global pandemic that's taken place over the last 18 months. How is racing in the southeast, and when will we see racing back out at the Mount Gambier track, do you think?
Yeah, so we've got, as you said, it's been, probably the last 18 months has been very difficult on everyone. We've been quite lucky in the racing game that we've been able to continue on. We've still been a training centre out here, so we've had a few little hiccups with the really wet winter. The entire grass has been out of action, was out of action for about 6 or 7 weeks, but the last couple of weeks that's sort of been back on track now, and the guys, we've got about 60 or 70 horses here in the morning, so which is fantastic. And, we've still been able to race in the southeast. Narracourt, Panola and Bordertown have taken on the meetings throughout the winter. Missed a couple, but that's just due to the wet weather. And, but overall, racing in the southeast is quite strong.
Brett, you must have one of the best jobs in the world, being able to watch horses in action all day.
Oh, yes, and I don't get to watch them all day, but when I can, it is great to watch. It's just... there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that people don't realise, but it's quite a good industry to be involved with.
Now, mate, what is next for racing in the southeast? Then, do we look like having a Gold Cup this year?
We're working towards that. The committee have got a meeting next week, we're looking at hopefully be racing by the end of December. So, watch this space in the next few weeks. Hopefully, we should have some announcements on what is going to happen. So, we're hopeful that we can get racing before Christmas.
That's it for today's podcast. I'll be back on Friday. For everything Limestone Coast, you can catch up with me live on radio from 6 a.m. weekday mornings on the Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.